Welcome back to another Edge God In podcast. Thank you for taking some time to edge God in to your mind, your will, and your emotions. Today's podcast is again going to be another fun exploration into how we can make the Word of God come to life in our behavior. What does that look like? The title for today's podcast is Holy Spirit Behavior to Act On. The learning objective is to learn. When you walk away from today's podcast, you're going to know and learn a three-step process to renew your life in Christ, as well as the behavior that shows up as a result of that renewal. We're going to be pulling from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 through 24, and we're going to pull through the rest of that scripture, the rest of that chapter, and move into chapter 5 as well. So this is a deeper dive into the book of Ephesians, which is a very, very powerful invitation. And there's a lot of invitation around the behavior for you to reflect on your behavior, the behavior that's working for you, the behavior that's not working for you, as well as the behavior that's associated with having a transformation in Christ, and the behavior that does not show an intimate relationship with Christ, or where we spill out of ourselves rather than staying grounded in Christ within us and staying by that throne where Christ sits in our heart and our behavior flows from that. There are many opportunities in our school that can easily flip us out of the behavior that really makes God recognizable. And that's the mission of Edge God In, is to champion your human potential in Christ. And that spills out into your behavior, what people see. And many times the only example or encounter with Christ that they'll see is through your behavior, or not. And you're the driver of that bus. So as we're about to enter a new year, it's a wonderful time to reflect on the behavior of this previous year that's worked for you and the ramifications of that behavior, as well as the behavior that has not worked for you, specifically when it comes to being a follower of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. As you reflect over the last year, what are some of the behaviors or patterns of behaviors that show up for you that you can honestly take a good look in the mirror and say, wow, that behavior definitely made God recognizable in my world? And what behavior didn't make God recognizable in your world? Metacognition is a term from neuro-linguistic programming. It's also used in neuroscience, and it's simply thinking about thinking. We're going to pull it through to behavior. So we're today not only going to be talking about our thinking, because behavior flows on what we meditate on. What are you thinking between your two ears? The behavior that flows from that process between your two ears is what other people see. So have you made Jesus recognizable in your life? And what are you committed to in the new year when it comes to reining back your thoughts to be transformed, as Paul tells us in Romans chapter 12, 1 through 2? How are we transformed? By the renewing of our mind. Do not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And as Paul is writing to the people in Ephesus, he is really taking a deep dive on behavior that's not aligned with the presence of the Holy Spirit within you, as well as he lays out very specifically, this is the behavior that shows up when the Holy Spirit's in the house and has the authority to guide you out into the outer world. So wouldn't it be awesome as we begin the new year if we can move more today from the inside out versus the outside in than we did yesterday? If we could pause before reacting to all of the different dramas outside of us, so that we can take that deep breath, breathing in the Holy Spirit and exhaling anxiety, frustration, taking offense, and turning to the Holy Spirit. Dear God, help me. How many times are you sinking like Peter did when Jesus called him out of the boat? and the waves engulfed him. How many times do you sink in your thought life? Well, this is an incredible opportunity with Ephesians chapter 4 and 5 to really see where you recognize yourself. And I encourage you, if you're in a position to pull out your Bible, to flip to Ephesians chapter 4 and 5 as we go through these scriptures and just highlight or mark where you recognize yourself. Because you're going to have lots of opportunity to see the behavior that does not make God recognizable and the behavior that does make God recognizable. So let's jump in. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Sweet Jesus, help. Help us to be able to allow the Holy Spirit to guide our intonation, our facial expressions, our word choice, our time management in terms of how we show up and how we choose to spend our time doing specific things, and more importantly, the behavior that shows up while we do what we're doing. Help us to be able to take a step back, to be able to expand the gap between what's happening outside of us as we enter this new year, and help us to be able to create that gap so that we can reconnect to you. It might be a simple prayer. What would you have me say to this person? How do you want me to respond to this email? What intonation should I use in the midst of this opportunity for conflict resolution? What questions should I use? The Holy Spirit is our master guide, our mentor, the great counselor. And we invite the power of the Holy Spirit to spill out into our behavior more today than yesterday, so that when people encounter us, bump into us, cut us off as we're driving, or jump in our way in any manner that might show up in our lives, help us to pause and to remember that we're your ambassadors. You're making your appeal through us. When we become self-centered, self-focused, when we become self-absorbed, then the behavior that shows up on the scene is behavior that usually does not make you recognizable. We give you permission to override us. Every time that we grip a hold of the need to be seen, acknowledged, recognized, and having ugly behavior crash that scene, help us to pause, Lord, because you didn't give us a spirit that lends itself toward being quickly angered or taking offense or even entitlement or victimization. No, Lord, you have given us a spirit of power, self-discipline, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. Help us to grab a hold of all that you've grabbed a hold of us for in this new year. More this as we enter this new year than this previous year. In your most precious name we pray. May the words of my mouth, meditations of my heart edify all of the people that are tuning into today's call and will be listening to the replay of today's podcast, that they would draw closer to you, release the behavior that's associated with fear, doubt, and worry, and enter into the power of really experiencing the Holy Spirit guiding how they show up, the words they use, the intonation, facial expression, all that. Lord, we toss that into your lap. Make us more like you today than yesterday. In your most precious name we pray. Amen. So as I often invite you to do in the beginning of the podcast, there is a download of a one page to help you capture your learnings. And it's a 5-step process to help you grab a hold of that which the Holy Spirit wants you to grab a hold of to draw you closer to Christ. And you can download this at edgegodin.com. It is a download that's underneath this specific podcast. You can also get it under resources on a tab, and you'd be able to print that out so that you can capture your learnings. A simpler invitation is to think of 1 to 3 things that are for you. Holy Spirit, show me what's for me in today's podcast. I'm taking time out of my day to edge you in so that I can truly reflect on the behavior that I want to release, that I want to reject, and the behavior I really want to sink into as I enter the new year. In your most precious name we pray. Amen. So as we're entering in to this specific podcast, As I mentioned, I encourage you to have your scriptures available. If you're driving, if you're on the go, on the move, then you can return to this podcast and check it out and pull out your pen and paper and write down your 1 to 3 things that the Holy Spirit's putting on your heart to help you edge him in more today than yesterday. So turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, 22 through 24. Now, this is actually a 3-step process that's laid out for us, that Paul's laying out for us here. And it's showing us how to have an internal transformation in 3 verses. Verse 22 explains this is what needs to be put off. Verse 23 talks about how do you do that? Like, how do I put off these undesirable behaviors? And verse 24 talks about the new, putting on the new. So we're putting off in verse 22, we're renewing in verse 23, and we're putting on in verse 24. And the first verse that we're going to take a look at is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. Regarding your previous way of life, put off your old self. Completely disregard your former nature, which is being corrupted through deceitful desires. What are those deceitful desires for you? Is it the need to have victory or a success or a win over another person? Deceitful desire in the area of motives? We did a podcast recently on motives, emotions. What are your deceitful desires? Deceit has that shadow side of acting one way and being another. And just even that invitation of looking at what's corrupted your behavior this last year. As you look back, just take inventory on specific behavior that resulted in a negative outcome and behavior that you do not want to bring with you into the new year. Perhaps it's complaining. Complaining actually shrinks the brain, shrinks the hippocampus. When you complain or you choose to hang out with complainers, another one is gossip. Maybe it's gossip. Do you find yourself spilling into conversations or having your leaning in when people start talking about other people? Or perhaps it's the little white lies. I was definitely in this earth school class, particularly when I was a teenager, before I accepted Christ. If I wanted to do something, I found very quickly that if people did not agree with what I was doing, one of the ways to avoid the confrontation was to just lie about it. Then I don't have to deal with confrontation. And the Holy Spirit really convicted my heart with even just the little white lies to the point where it became like Honest Planet. I actually had people say, stop being so honest. So what is it for you? Deceitful desires. How does that show up for you? Because the first step to release something, and this aligns with the 12 wonderful 12-step program for AA, is just the ruthless honesty. This is my name and this is the deal. This is what I do. And I don't want to keep doing this because the ramifications are it's ruining my life or my relationships or my relationship with God. And so we forget oftentimes that God has given us that amazing choice point of being able to put off and put on, put off and put on. Every single day, you have the opportunity before you fall asleep to just do an examination of consciousness. There's a wonderful examination of consciousness. St. Ignatius put some out there, and some people have really done a wonderful job on some meditations on really examining, doing the examine and examine your day. What behavior do you not want to take with you into tomorrow? And you do that long enough. I usually encourage my clients to do it for a good 30 to 40, sometimes 60, depending on the how rooted the behavior is, just to do an observation at the end of the day and write down the ramifications of that behavior. What is the result of that behavior that you don't want to see in the next day? And you're going to start seeing patterns. Perhaps the behavior is going to be linked to a lack of self-confidence. Perhaps it's linked to past pain. And it's the behavior that's showing up as hurting people. Hurting people hurt people is a common statement out there. As you observe the behavior you don't want to see, then you're going to be in a position to be able to flip yourself into the lap of Christ and invite the Holy Spirit, who is your coach, your ultimate coach, to put on the new self. And we're going to look, as Paul coaches us through Ephesians here, on the specific behavior that is aligned with putting a smile on the face of the Holy Spirit, to put it simply, and the behavior that grieves the Holy Spirit. As we move on to verse 23, we've just talked about in 22, to regard your previous way of life, put off your old self. The invitation here is, what is the behavior that you want to put off? Pause at the end of your day, start taking inventory of the behavior that you don't want to bring into tomorrow. The second phase of this is the how-to piece. This is the link. Joyce Meyer speaks about this verse as being the bridge scripture between 22 and 24, because it actually lets you know, how do you put on the new self, which is spoken about in verse 24. So verse 23 says, be continually renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh, untarnished mental and spiritual attitude. This again, Paul drives this point home, that our greatest place of empowerment for transformation, whether it's taking every thought captive, making obedient to Christ, being renewed in your mind, whether it's in verse 23, we read renewed in the spirit of your mind. First, again, before we can renew something, we've got to step into and take time. Don't rush this process. Really take time in verse 22. What is it that needs to be renewed in your thinking? And then look at the behavior linked to the thought. Because the body follows what, it's just like that common statement, the man follows where the mind goes. Meaning, whatever you're thinking about is just a matter of time before that spills out into behavior. And what is the behavior, again, that you do not want to bring with you into the new year? Perhaps it's anger outbursts. Paul talks about this in Ephesians chapter 4. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. What is it that bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor? He mentions it actually a couple times in verse 4 and 5. Perhaps you go green. I'll often use that statement. I totally went green. The other day, I was just sharing with my husband, one of the things that flips me into anger is, and this is kind of a trivial thing, yet I'm aware of it, I've got two big dogs, and when I'm out on a walk with them and they don't listen to me and they don't come when I call them, I will literally go green. You wouldn't even recognize me. And then afterwards, often, perhaps you can notice this about yourself, that after you've flipped into that ugly behavior, whatever it is, that behavior that shows up that grieves the Holy Spirit, there's often, because Satan's just prowling around, watching and waiting for you to fall into that ugly behavior, because then he jumps on your back with shame. How could you do that? You're a follower of Christ? Yeah, right. Look at how that behavior showed up. That doesn't make God recognizable. Can't even believe you have a podcast. So this is the part of observation that gets very entertaining, as long as we stay very, very close to the Holy Spirit, and as quickly as possible, as quickly as you recognize that behavior. And it might be, and as I dig deeper into my behavior, that when I lose it, when my dogs don't listen to me and run off on a walk, it was really my need to be in control. So maybe that's a behavior. Maybe that's a need or a thought that you might have, that I feel safe when I'm in control. So when I'm out of control, I don't feel safe. And that's when ugly behavior crashes the party. So know thyself. Know the behavior that you do not want to bring with you into tomorrow. And Paul says here, how do you do that? You renew your mind. One part of renewing the mind is, again, the first step of acknowledgement. Wow, I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be screaming at the top of my lungs and getting all mad. I don't want to intimidate people. In Sherpa Executive Coaching, we've got four forms of intimidation, and it's under the pathway of non-productive behavior. And there are four different areas that the behavior shows up in intimidating those people around them. One is activity, being so busy that you don't have time for human beings. Another one is demand. That's when you use words like, I need this, I want this, I have to have this on my desk by the end of the day. And that's, again, the demand. What's the fear behind this? There's always a fear behind ugly behavior that shows up. When you identify the fear, then you can enter the space of humility. God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. And this is all thinking in your mind, thinking about thinking, and thinking about the behavior that shows up in your life that is a result of what you're thinking about. I need to be in control. If I'm not in control, then I got to get all you people around me to be under my control so I can get what I want. So what is it for you? The other two are passion and knowledge. You can be so excited about something and no one shares your passion. Are you aware of speaking an idea or a thought in a way that is inviting to people around you that perhaps don't share the same exact passion? That's the same Paul refers to this as becoming all things to all men through humility. The other one is knowledge. Have you ever said the statement, these people are so stupid. They don't know what the heck they're doing. Again, that's behavior. That's complaining behavior. That's judgmental behavior that's showing up. And oftentimes it leads to gossip and bad-mouthing and slandering, as we read in Proverbs, slandering other people's reputation. That all falls under those four areas that we use in Sherpa Executive Coaching, the non-productive behavior, activity, demand, passion, and knowledge. And this is the behavior to become aware of that starts with thinking. So verse 23 is a huge invitation that we have here. Be continually renewed in the spirit of your mind. That's having a fresh, untarnished mental attitude. So the second step, once you've identified the ugly behavior or your old self, old nature, that is still being corrupted through deceitful desires, desire to be right, liked, understood, the desire to be seen, acknowledged, recognized, the desire to be first, the desire to be the best. What is the desire that's creating ugly behavior? The desire to be in control, the desire to dominate. And this all leads to behavior that intimidates other human beings around you. So this is an incredible time to do some winter cleaning here before we enter the new year. What is the behavior that you want to release, step out of, do less today than yesterday as you enter into a new year of life? So we talk about the deceitful desires. Then we talk about the how-to in verse 23, the renewing of your mind. Meditate upon the scriptures. Once you've nailed it down, perhaps it is to be in control. It's a real popular one. In order to feel safe, I need to be in control. The next question is, and what happens when you're not in control? What is the behavior that shows up when you're not in control? What are we going to see? How does it affect the people around you? So to take back that power that you're giving to outside circumstance, we're called to be renewed by the Spirit, to renew the spirit of our mind. This is the piece of meditating upon Scripture. I began this practice when I first became a Christian, particularly around the area when God was cleansing my heart on giving power to the outside world, wanting to be popular, wanting to be seen, acknowledged, all those things that lead to ugly behavior. Because it leads to deceitful behavior, it leads to false motives, and it leads to behavior that does not make the Holy Spirit recognizable. I started to memorize scripture. Scripture memory is so powerful because the more you memorize, the more the Holy Spirit has to bring up for you. When I went through advanced cancer and divorce, I experienced, especially the divorce part, I experienced a lot of shame and guilt. I couldn't make my marriage work. Oh my gosh, my marriage failed. Then Satan would slip in the back door and just whisper, then you are a failure. You're not enough. God doesn't delight in you anymore. Look at you. You couldn't stay married. What's the matter with you? And so the shame again, the guilt and the shame slither in. And I jumped into the practice that Jesus did when he was in the desert. How did he fight the devil? He used scripture. As we read in Luke, when he encountered the devil in the desert, he kept quoting the Old Testament again and again. Finally, the devil by the third time picked up on it and he started quoting scripture back to Jesus and he wouldn't even have anything of it. He just kept quoting the scriptures. God says this, God says that. So I started using that same protocol. Jesus lays that out and I encourage you to do the same. Once you've identified the old self behavior or the behavior that you do not want to bring with you, look up verses in the area of that specific behavior and memorize those verses because the Holy Spirit during that time would bring up verses in my heart. As far as the East is from the West, he's forgiven me. He delights in me. That God opposes the proud, gives grace to the humble, to humble myself under God and coming back to his heart and beginning again and just declaring Jeremiah 29:11, you do have plans for me, God, even though I screwed up. And I wasn't able to stay married. You have plans to prosper me and not to harm me, to give me hope and a future. I declare that moving forward. So memorize those verses. In fact, as you are reading through Ephesians chapter 4 and 5, write down on a card, just get yourself some of those index cards. Write down your verse for the week. I have a dear friend and we'll share each other's verse for the week or verse for the day with each other. Find an accountability partner and start storing that word of God within your heart. During transitions, put on your Bible app. Listen to the word of God as much as possible so that verse 23, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23, becomes a reality for you, that you become renewed in the spirit of your mind. And then we move to verse 24. Put on the new self. So we're told to put off in 22 the old self. That's that behavior. You don't want to see more of that behavior showing up tomorrow. And in verse 24, we're called to put on the new self, the regenerated and renewed nature created in God's image, in the righteousness and holiness of truth, living in a way that expresses to God your gratitude for your salvation. And he goes on to say in verse 25, as a result of this encounter with Christ that puts on this new self, and I think I've mentioned this before in other podcasts, I used to curse like a sailor. I grew up on Long Island and I used to say the F-bomb as an adjective, verb and noun. And the one thing that happened that the Holy Spirit did instantly is he totally cleaned house of that. I didn't even try to not curse. It was one of those things that it wasn't even on my mind anymore. So the Holy Spirit will do that. As you invite the Holy Spirit in, Holy Spirit, come into my life. As I enter a new year, I don't want this behavior that I just wrote down. I don't want to see this behavior showing up. Help me, deliver me from this ugly behavior. I want behavior that does not grieve the Holy Spirit, but actually puts a smile on the Holy Spirit's face moving forward. And this is the putting on of the new self. Paul goes on to say, therefore, in verse 25, reject all falsehood. And this is the reject piece. Now we're getting into an invitation that's a common theme for chapter 4, Ephesians 4, and Ephesians 5. You're going to see a lot of reject this, be this. Reject this, be this. Or you can say, release this behavior and step into being a witness to this behavior. So he's pulling through and even nailing down that invitation that we just read about in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 through 24. Put off your old self, renew your mind, put on your new self. Put off your old self, renew your mind. That's how you put off your old self. And put on the new self. The new self makes God recognizable. So this is actually the experience of edging God in to your behavior. The behavior is the ramification of your thought life. So as we read in verse 25, rejecting, the definition for reject, it's actually a verb. So there's an action word. God is all about action. It's receiving, and then the action spills from that feeling of encountering Christ. Once you receive from Christ, you can't help but take action. So it's pausing, taking that deep breath. What would you have me do to make you recognizable here? Help me to reject falsehood. What do you do when there's a bunch of people around you gossiping? I remember one time when I was in seventh grade, I was on one side of the lockers. At the time, I ran track. And on the other side, I heard two or three girls bad-mouthing me, just saying really ugly things about my behavior or about my just things that weren't true. And I knew they weren't true. And so I remember I started like shaking, and I got really flushed in my face. I remember exactly where I was. And I just took a deep breath and I walked around the corner and I confronted them. And of course, you can imagine they were embarrassed and, oh, we didn't mean that. And they were backpedaling. What do you do with gossip? What do you do when people are bad-mouthing other people? That's something to really reflect on in your life. What do you do when people are bad-mouthing people on social media? Do you stand up for love? For Christ, for forgiveness, for release? Or do you take your own personal stance and jump in the fight or jump in the gossip? This is an incredible opportunity, if you claim to be a follower of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, to let him do some serious internal cleaning of your mind that's spilling out into ugly behavior. Because Paul says in verse 25, reject all falsehood, whether lying, defrauding, telling half-truths, hello, guilty, spreading rumors. This is, again, because we have an innate self-focused self-interest, we love to be the bearer of news, good or bad. So perhaps that's getting off the stage, going inside. Lord, do you want me to share this information? Would this be breaking a confidence? How does this make you recognizable? Taking that deep breath, going inside, and stopping the action that perhaps would grieve the Holy Spirit. Now, as we're looking at these reject this, be this, which Paul is talking about here, it's important to understand, as we read in the scriptures about grieving the Holy Spirit in verse 30, Ephesians chapter 4, 30 says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, but seek to please him by whom you were sealed and marked. You guys, we are marked. We are branded. We are literally marked with the Holy Spirit. We belong to God. I can't tell you how many times I am so self-centered, so self-focused, and the Holy Spirit just crashes in and says, how's that working for you? Did you forget that you are my ambassador? God is making his appeal through you for his purposes, to make himself recognizable in people's lives entrusted to your care. It's not about you. It's not all about you, Lauren. And so it's, again, grieving. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. We grieve the Holy Spirit if we just stay stuck in verse 22 in our old self. So have you grieved the Holy Spirit this week, today, this last year? Look for patterns of behavior. As you look for patterns of behavior, that's an indication that you've created in neuroscience. It's referred to a messaging system. It's basically like having a motherboard with the same message, and you keep firing thoughts associated around that message. Perhaps the message is people are out to get me. Or perhaps the message is in the lines of victimization, nothing ever works out for me. Just understand who's fueling those messages. All good gifts, everything good flows down from God into your mind, into your heart. What is good, beautiful, excellent, praiseworthy. Those negative messaging systems that we've reinforced through negative thoughts firing can be overridden simply by introducing a new thought. And as you introduce a new thought, when that pops up, just like that whack the mole game, negative thought pops up, you hammer it down with the scripture, you keep doing it over and over again. What starts to happen biologically in the brain is you start to create a new messaging system, one that is fueled by what is good, right, true, beautiful, excellent, praiseworthy, what is fueled by the Holy Spirit. So when we read the scripture, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, but seek to please him by whom you were sealed and marked for the day of redemption. So understand that you're sealed and marked for the day of redemption. To grieve means to cause distress. To reject, because we're talking about rejecting certain behavior, it's a verb, it's an action word, which means to dismiss as inappropriate. So as I read through just a list that I've gathered, I'm just going to grab a couple of verses through chapter 4 and chapter 5 of what we're called to reject by being renewed by this in the spirit of our mind. This is how we reject this behavior. Because this behavior that Paul is talking about is behavior that flows from a mind that is not renewed by the Holy Spirit. It's a mind that is linked to the outer world. So this is an invitation for us. Yay, we're entering a new year. Time to unzip, step out of that old behavior, and to zip up the new behavior in the Holy Spirit. So we're going to dismiss as inappropriate. That's the definition of reject. The following behaviors as Paul lays them out. Reject all falsehood, lying, defrauding, telling half-truths, spreading rumors, speaking to one another and his own neighbor. This is the gossip part of life. Reject being angry and having your behavior hurt other people. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. This is the rejecting part. Refuse to let the sun go down on your anger. I was angry at my husband a couple months ago. I was so angry and I was about to go to sleep. I'm like, forget it. I'll just deal with it tomorrow. And I was trying to go to sleep and this verse kept firing in my mind. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Why? Because it gives the devil a foothold to nurture the anger, to harbor resentment, and to cultivate bitterness. So I called my husband up and I humbled myself and I owned my stubborn behavior. And then we ended up having a very meaningful, connecting conversation. Do you let the sun go down on your anger? Refuse, reject, dismiss it. Leave it, send it away, and take action with God. These are all things to reject. Reject unwholesome, foul, worthless, vulgar words that come out of your mouth. And this is what Paul says in verse 29. He says that only speech that's building up to other human beings according to their needs on every occasion, that's going to be a blessing to everyone who hears you. That's what we're to put on. We're called to reject and not to grieve the Holy Spirit. Refuse to grieve the Holy Spirit, even if you have to put your hand on your mouth and run away. In Sherpa Executive Coaching, we have something that is referred to separating or is referred to a specific tool, and it's called Listen, Think, and Communicate. And we have a little char, we call it, which is a reminder of this specific tool, and it's a Band-Aid. Put a Band-Aid over your mouth. Listen. Think. What are you thinking about? Is the Holy Spirit fueling your thinking, or is your negative old nature fueling your thinking? And then speak. So again, it's expanding the gap between what's happening outside of you and your choice of response to it. Part of this is to reject all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor in verse 31, slander. Noticing how many times this is slander, envy, gossip, every form of malice, spiteful verbal abuse. Then we read to reject, I'm flipping to chapter 5 now, reject sexual immorality, all impurity, indecent offensive behavior, greed must not even be among you in the smallest amount. We're called to reject filthy, silly talk, coarse, obscene, vulgar joking. I just read in the Proverbs a verse that said, anyone who says, I'm only joking, that's a dark space to be, because it's linked to sarcasm. The root word for sarcasm actually means to tear the flesh. Are you sarcastic with people? I'm just kidding. And then you kind of shame the person as a result of that. We did a podcast about that with your words. Because of such things that are inappropriate for believers, but instead speak with thankfulness. We're called to reject immorality, impurity, greed again. There's greed again. We're called to reject not to become involved with empty arguments. Those are the kind of arguments that encourage you to stumble. And we're called to reject foolish and thoughtlessness. We're also called to reject getting totally smashed, drunk on wine. This is all I'm pulling from chapter 5 in Ephesians. So I encourage you to go through chapter 4 and 5 and see where you recognize yourself. Circle it, highlight it. What do I want to reject in the new year, Lord? And then ask the Holy Spirit to help you with this. Now let's flip to being. We talked about releasing and being, or rejecting and being. So Paul uses the word to be present. It's the scene of Mary and Martha coming to life here. Mary was being present to Christ, taking in every word. Martha was concerned about all the things around her. Not to say that that's not important. Jesus was simply saying it's more important to be present to God. Because as you be in your mind, take a deep breath, get off the stage of drama. Holy Spirit, how do you want me to respond to this conflict? Holy Spirit, what do you want me to say to this person? Holy Spirit, how do you want me to act and be in this moment? Live through me. This is Ephesians chapter 4, 23. Be continually renewed in the spirit of your mind. So as we read through again, just looking for what Paul is pointing out, we just went through what to reject. Now we're looking at the behavior that Paul is inviting us by the power of the Holy Spirit, being renewed in the mind. This is the behavior that shows up as a result of being renewed in your mind in Christ and putting on the new self. You're going to be kind. Verse 30, 32, be helpful to other people, tenderhearted, compassionate, forgiving, just as Christ forgave you. As we jump to chapter 5, be imitators, become imitators of Christ, of God. Verse 5, 2, continually walk in love. Be committed to continually walk in love, particularly to those people that irritate you. And man, I'm telling you right now, that is a job for the Holy Spirit. Because it is so easy. Frustration evokes frustration. Anger evokes anger. Gossip evokes gossip. Love evokes love. As Proverbs says, you want to heap burning coals on those people that are spewing ugly words at you? Respond in loving kindness. And it will flip them back on themselves. So we're called to be empathetic, compassionate, unselfish. We're called to enter into Christ's love, who gave himself up for us. We're called to learn what is pleasing to the Lord, to be loving toward our spouses, toward other people. We're called to be strong in the Lord and in his might. We're called to live and to wake up to be awake. We're called to be awake in verse 5, chapter 5, verse 14. Be awake. Are you sleeping in certain negative behavior? Let's wake up. Ask the Holy Spirit. I give you permission, Holy Spirit, to sift me. Show me that those behaviors that I have been showing up with in this last year that hold me back from true intimacy and making you recognizable in the new year. Show me what those behaviors are. This is a very bold prayer. As I've mentioned before, prayed this a while ago, and the Holy Spirit really started crashing in and just saying, and that behavior, and that behavior. So keep a journal. This is an invitation to become a lighter version of you and allowing the Holy Spirit to guide your behavior into the new year. This is an invitation to reject, dismiss as inappropriate, to leave or send away. These are all definitions of the an explanation of the definition of reject. We're called not to grieve or cause distress in the Holy Spirit. So what if in the new year, you came before God with your list of behaviors that you've seen a pattern in this last year that you simply want to release? I don't want to be like that, God. I remember just recently, a couple weeks ago, I did some ugly behavior, and I can't even really remember what it was right now, actually. That just goes to show you, when you flip it into the lap of Christ, he heals you. I was taking offense. I was upset about what somebody else did, and I couldn't drop it. I just kept thinking about it over and over again. And I finally just confessed it before my husband. I just said, I don't want to be like this. And when I said those words, all these tears came up. And it felt so good to just be able to say, I don't want to be like that, God. That's not the person I want to be. And this is an invitation on today's podcast to really examine the behavior. And you don't want to act like that. That's not the person you're committed to being. And what's so beautiful is God sees you not for what you do, but for the person you're committed to being in Him. Invite the Holy Spirit to transform your behavior by the renewing of your mind. So as you reflect on today's scriptures, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 through 24, and going through chapter 4 and 5, looking for the behavior to reject and looking for the behavior to be thankful for the opportunity to begin again in the Holy Spirit, even if it's 1,000 times a day. When the Holy Spirit convicts you and simply is gently saying, do you really want to act like that? And what are the ramifications of your choice of acting like that? Are you intimidating other people by demanding things, by knowledge, thinking that other people are stupid because they don't act as quickly as you do or know what you know? Or perhaps you're just too busy to connect with people. That's other behavior. I'm so busy being important. I don't have time for these people. Look for patterns of behavior and then invite the Holy Spirit in to transform your thoughts so that you could be renewed in your behaviors because you have a new mind in Christ. This is such a fun opportunity. As we begin a new year, it's such an incredible opportunity to do a little appreciative inquiry. What do you want to see more of? What behavior do you want to carry with you into the new year? What behavior do you want to release, let go of? It's an incredible time to be transformed, to step into one of our core foundational scriptures at Edge God In Ministries is Galatians 5:1. It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Stand firm then and don't allow yourself to be burdened by the yoke of slavery. The yoke of slavery to ugly behavior. Behavior that flows from your own fears, your own self-doubts, your own worries. Jesus came to set us free from all that, people. And many times, as I was told in college, in one of my Fellowship of Christian Athletes Bible studies, it's as if we have an endless bank account of mercy and grace to begin again. And we're only pulling out a dollar a day. So let's clothe ourselves with kindness, compassion, humility, gentleness, and patience by the renewing of our mind in the Holy Spirit. This is a very personal experience, so don't rush it. Really take time to do an examination going deep with these two chapters and putting off the old, appreciative inquiry. What do you want to, what's working for you in terms of the positive behavior and making God recognizable? Let's do more of that. Do more of that behavior. I remember learning in my master's program, there's tons of papers written about appreciative inquiry. And I summed it up just in like three sentences. What's working for you? Why is it working? Do more of that. We know what's working for us when our mind, our will, our emotions are governed. Our thought life is governed by the power of the Holy Spirit within us. That's working for us. That's why it's working for us. And let's do more of that as we enter the new year of life. Can you imagine if we were all committed to this? Just the shift that we would notice in the lives of the people entrusted to our care. Wow. Enjoy this experience. Take time before God and really examine the behaviors that you want to unzip, step out of. What scriptures are you going to use and memorize and store in your heart so that you can be renewed by the spirit of your mind and put on the new self? Therefore, you're going to reject certain behavior and you're going to put on and be present to showcasing behavior that when people look at you, they know that there's something different. That's what drew me into the lap of Christ. I saw people and I said, holy cow. I am totally following the shiny objects and living for the world outside of me, rising and falling, depending upon it, how the world judges me. It's exhausting. And then I found out what their fuel was, what their source was, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and falling in love with him. Jesus Christ of Nazareth adores you. There is nothing that you have done that cannot be swallowed up with his grace and love and forgiveness. And there's nothing that you will do that's a surprise to him, by the way. So the quicker that you see it, you acknowledge it, the faster your freedom that's spoken about in Galatians 5:1 will become your reality in the new year. It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Stand firm and don't allow yourself to be burdened by the yoke of slavery. Reject the behavior that does not make God recognizable moving forward into the new year. Thank you for taking the time to edge God in. Write your 1 to 3 things that have value to you. In Sherpa Executive Coaching, we call this your I commit to. I commit to this, examining my behavior, what didn't work out for me this last year, patterns of behavior, watching me do life, and renewing my mind with the word of God. And then putting on a new self by the power of the Holy Spirit. You're not alone in this journey. Ask the Holy Spirit, once you've identified an area of behavior that you want to change, it's that in that confession, I don't want to be like this. And as soon as you say that, that's when the tears come and the reality comes and the transformation comes. May the power of the Holy Spirit draw you closer to the heart of Christ today than yesterday. Sweet Jesus, in your most precious name, by the power of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, we give you permission to show everyone on this call, including myself, the behavior that does not make you recognizable, that is part still linked to our old self, linked to our fears, our self-doubts, our worries, our past pain, our need to be right, liked, understood. Free us, Lord. So as we enter this new year, we would grab a hold of the mindset. We're told in the scriptures that we have your mind. Renew our mind, Lord, so that we can put on the new self that shows up with the behaviors that does not grieve the Holy Spirit. but allows us to experience the joy of the Holy Spirit within us. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Enjoy your gift of life today, and as you enter this new year, enjoy the process of releasing the old and zipping up the new, zipping off, zipping on. One of the things I got for Christmas is the clapper. It came out in the 80s. I remember my brother got it, where you clap on, clap off. So right now, we're clapping off that old behavior and clapping on the power of the behavior that's driven by the power of the Holy Spirit within us, more today than yesterday. Enjoy your gift of life and enjoying edging God in more today than yesterday. Visit us for other fun podcasts to be able to champion your human potential in Christ at edgegodin.com. Give them heaven out there. There's enough hell going on.